and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. We'll pick up on the story a little later. The rest of the story. These men knew what they were doing. They were fishermen. They didn't need to be told how to fish. It was their livelihood. They were seasoned at it. They knew the tricks and the benefits of fishing at night. It was something they poured their hearts and their lives into. They were serious about it and about it prospering. I believe there are times in our lives when we have been up all night, so to speak. We are exhausted with effort. We've done everything that we know to do. We've tried and we've tried. Perhaps we've totally failed, as they did. We've entertained every possible option. Perhaps it relates to where I am in life right now. Maybe it's in family life. Maybe it's in the area of child training. Maybe it's an interpersonal relationship that I am in the middle of with a brother or with a co-worker. Perhaps it's a bad habit I deal with. Maybe it goes so far as an addiction I have. Do we as Christians have addictions? Yes. Yes, we find ourselves there sometimes. Perhaps it's a hurt that I carry that happened way back. Maybe it's a desire, a deep desire that I have to go on with God, to somehow take my relationship with God farther. But I just haven't quite worked that out. Or perhaps we are on the verge of a major change in life. And as we look ahead, we don't know where to turn. Perhaps it's because of a terminal illness that I've been diagnosed with. And I just want to encourage the Troyer family. God is with you. I believe God is with you. I believe this is one of those times when God has chosen you and has said, launch out into the deep. But He doesn't send you alone. He goes with you. Perhaps you have felt God calling you to take your family and move into Eugene or somewhere else in service. Perhaps it's another area of ministry that you feel God calling you into. Change. Maybe it's someone you know who is out in the world and you feel God telling you to, I want you to reach out to them in a way that you never have before. God is saying, launch out into the deep. Set sail. Put out to sea. not just out from shore, but into the deep. Out where it's mysterious, where it's profound, and where it's deep. Get your gloves on. Put the sail up. Ready the deck. Launch out into the deep. Go out beyond this area that you're familiar with, where you're comfortable. Move out. Out where there's unknown. Out where there's danger. I want you to go out and to trust me. I believe God does this to stretch us. He knows who we are. He knows what we're made of. He knows where I am today, and He wants to stretch me. He wants me to reach my fuller potential, not because of who I am, but because of what He wants to do through me. He wants me to grow, to develop, to get stronger, to reach higher. So often, I like to grow. I like to go into the unknown when I know what I'm getting into and when it is going to benefit me. But I find when God sends me out, it's not where I want to go. It's not an area I know about. It is not an area that's comfortable for me. But that's when God says, launch out into the deep. It's to grow into His image, in His work, in what He has for me. I believe, too, He wants to show us that I can't handle the situation. It's beyond me. He's in control. And He wants to show that in my life. I'd like to notice several Bible characters who God launched out into some deep experiences. I'd like to think of Moses. We'll read of him in Exodus 3. Exodus 3, we'll begin at verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Now come, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? We have here Moses' response to God's call, and I'm not adequate. I can't do this. Verse 12, And he said, Surely I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go, and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken unto thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And ye shall say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go. We beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when ye shall not go empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor, and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver and jewels of gold, and raiment. And ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Again, he doubts what God is telling him to do. That God will come through. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. The Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thy hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, Put now thy hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, Put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. We'll stop there. Moses was little of faith. He saw his lack and didn't know how God, didn't understand how God could take him and use him. But finally, we do know he was willing to go if Aaron went with him to be his spokesman. And so God did use Moses, and Moses became a tremendous leader of God's people. But this was a deep experience for Moses. Let's go to Deuteronomy 34. We'll notice his successor, Joshua. Deuteronomy 34:9. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom For Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, as did the Lord, commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand, and in all that great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. Moving into Joshua. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the host, and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. So we have this great calling coming to Moses. I'm sorry, to Joshua. Moses was acquainted with... getting mixed up. Joshua was acquainted with Moses and his leadership. His ability had for years. Now Moses was gone, and Joshua is called by God to step up and fill in the gap to take Moses' place. We have Joshua responding. God told him, be strong, step in there, carry on, launch out. And Joshua carried through. He stepped in. Turn back with me to Genesis chapter 6. Another man here named Noah. Genesis 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thou an ark of gopher wood, Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee, to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah. According to all that God commanded him, so did he. And so, again, we have another man who was brought by God to a tremendous assignment. Told to launch out into something that was overwhelming. Yet he did. Let's notice one more. Judges 6. Judges 6. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the land of Midian 7 years, into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains, and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. Both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat unto an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, then why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now hath the Lord forsaken us, and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Lord, why me? How can I do this? But we have verse 27. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord said unto him. He took courage and followed God's direction. There are so many others. We think of Philip. There's Peter. There's Abraham. There's Mary and Joseph. Zacchaeus. Many to whom God came and not in so many words, but said, launch out into the deep. I want you to change. So what does God ask of us today? Is it any different? I believe it's the same thing that God came to these characters and said, I am choosing you at this point in time to go out where it's uncomfortable, to go out in the deep and do a work for me. Let go of the control that you don't have anyway and trust God to take you through. Doesn't matter what God is calling you to do. Maybe it's in the area of witnessing. Maybe He's calling you to move. Maybe He's calling you to bear the burden of the loss of a loved one, or to bear a sickness. Whatever it is, our circumstances are varied, but the call is the same. God uses these various ways to call all of us. Psalm 37:5 says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Commit means, the Hebrew means to roll. At various times, whether it's my own or someone else's, I have helped with a dead car. And more than once, we go out to where it fell down with a truck and trailer, and we get it set up in front of the car, and we get behind the car and we push and we roll this car onto the trailer. It's a burden we have that we don't know what to do with. And God says, roll it onto me. Once it's on the trailer, my part of the job's pretty much over. Take it to the mechanic. I don't know what to do with it, but he does. And it's taken care of. But to get it on the car, we must roll it to get it up there, to get it on the trailer. Commit thy way to the Lord. You can't bear it. Roll it onto the Lord. Trust Him with it. And let Him bear it. He will bring it to pass. His purpose, His plan. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Isaiah 26:3. Here the psalmist says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." God did not intend for us to carry this burden. But He calls us to go forward, to go into the deep. That's unfamiliar to us. But the weight of it, He wants to carry. He says, "Trust Me and move forward." Just as He told Peter. Be willing to take the risk. Go out where it's deep and dark. Leave the safe haven where it's secure and sheltered, and go out in the deep. I make it difficult for myself when I try to reason out, as Moses did, and I've done that, to reason out all the factors that make it impossible for me to go over here where God is wanting me to go. I make it difficult for myself. There's no way I can accept what God is calling of me, what He's asking of me. It doesn't make sense. But God's call still comes loud and clear. Launch out into the deep. Trust Me. You won't only just survive, but I have tremendous blessings for you if you will follow My direction. I just need to surrender. I just need to give up myself and follow God's plan for me. And I wish that a one-time experience would just take me on through. But it does not. God brings that to me again and again. Launch out. Go farther. Trust Me. Let go. And follow Me. Whatever it is that God is calling us to or to walk through, it's going to require a surrender of self. Because we're not here because of me. I'm here because of Him and to do His work and to honor Him. Let's go back now to Luke chapter 5 for the rest of the chapter, the rest of the story. I'm going to read verses 5 through 11. "And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed Him." I believe we can conclude that when God calls us to launch out into the deep, He already knows His plan for us.
He already knows. He's already at work orchestrating the results of our obedience. When Peter obeyed, things began to happen. And I don't know how it was, but I believe that Jesus did not have to accumulate these fish from around the lake. I believe He created these fish on the spot. That's Jesus. So many fish that these nets break, but they didn't lose them. They got these fish, they put them in the boats, it filled two ships, till the boats were threatening to sink. They got the work done, they got the nets piled on top, and they stood back and just could not believe this. They were astonished at what happened. Here we fished all night and got nothing. But in obedience to Jesus, we come out here and we couldn't handle another fish. Lord, You are Lord. Jesus, You are in control. And He wants that control in our lives. Take the story of Abraham and Isaac. God said, I want you to sacrifice your son. And so the next morning, early, he gets up, takes his son, his servants, fire and wood, and goes to the spot God said to go to. And he comes to the time when Isaac is on the altar, bound, and the knife is raised, following through. And God says, Abraham, that's far enough. And he notices a ram back in the thicket. Again, I don't believe this ram was an escapee of the farm across the hill. I believe God put that ram there just for the need. That's God. Take Jesus' first miracle, turning the water into wine. They ran out of wine. They needed more wine. And Jesus said, take these vessels, fill them with water. So they did that. Now, serve the host. And it was the best wine, made without grapes, made without a vineyard, made without a press. That's God. Take the creation story where God spoke and there was grass, green grass. There were trees of every sort with leaves. The sun, the moon, the stars, the mountains, the garden in its beauty. And then He takes and forms out of the dust of the ground a man. A man. And a little while later, He takes and makes a woman. Mature individuals. There was no growing process necessary. That's God. What is God calling, asking of you? As He says, launch out into the deep. Where is that? What is that for you? Dare you take that step? Is it worth the risk? Can you take that step? God always moves on obedience. Always. Always. You take that step in obedience and God is there. God will be there. And He will work in your situation. I can't say how. Not always is the response to our obedience so miraculous and so wonderful as in Peter's case. Nonetheless, God says, launch out into the deep. Obey. Trust me. And I will be there. I will walk with you where I call you to go. And so I ask you this morning, will you launch out into the deep? May God bless you.